Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
It was just another busy Monday at the LAX. My shift had barely begun when the call came in. A woman at the bar was causing a disturbance. I was familiar with the usual disturbances: passengers who drank too much, who were stressed about their flights, or the entitled brats who demanded that the gates be open for them because it's the traffic's law that they weren't on time. But this call was different. The caller's voice was laced with fear I hadn't heard before.
Black Friday at BJ's Wholesale Club is so big, we called in the expert at paying less around the holidays.
Scrooge here. Past, present, or future, it's hard to beat the Black Friday deals at BJ's. Believe me, I've tried. Get 25% off select toys, 30% off select small appliances, and 45% off select TVs through December 1st. Plus, doorbuster deals Thanksgiving weekend. These prices are so good they even rattled old Marley's chain. Bah, humbug. Sorry, old habit.
Visit BJ's.com/Black Friday for holiday savings.
I arrived at the bar to find a scene of chaos. Broken glass littered the floor, and a circle of wary onlookers had formed around a woman standing on a table. She was middle-aged with wild, unkempt hair and eyes that darted around the room like a trapped animal's. Her clothes were disheveled, stained with spilled drinks.
Get away from me, you snakes. You won't take me.
The bartender caught my eye, motioning me over. As I approached the woman, Marie's attention shifted to me, and her expression twisted into one of pure hatred.
You're one of them, aren't you? Lucifer's dog.
I held up my hands in what I hoped was a calming gesture.
Ma'am, I'm here to help. Why don't you come down from there so we can talk?
She grabbed a bottle from the counter and hurled it at me. I barely dodged it, feeling the glass shatter against the wall behind me. The crowd gasped and took a collective step back.
Help? You call this help? You're all in on it. You don't think I know?
Her voice was rising, becoming more frantic. She leaped down from the table, landing awkwardly but not falling. With surprising speed, she charged at a young man near the bar, screaming incoherently. I rushed forward, managing to pull her away before she could do any real damage, but not before she landed a few wild punches on him.
Get back! Everyone, get back!
My words seemed to snap the onlookers out of their stupor, and they began to scatter. Marie, seeing her audience flee, became even more erratic. She dashed behind the bar, grabbing bottles, and one by one started flinging them with reckless abandon. The air filled with the sound of breaking glass and shouts of panic.
I'll blow this place to kingdom come. You'll all see. You'll all burn!
My blood ran cold at her words. Bomb threats were no joke. I reached for my radio, calling for backup.
We have code violet at the bar. We need all available personnel now.
Marie had grabbed a large knife from behind the bar and was waving it wildly. I edged closer, trying to keep her attention on me.
Marie, put the knife down. We don't want anyone to get hurt.
She laughed, a high, hysterical sound that sent shivers down my spine.
Hurt? You think I care about hurt? You're all dead! Dead!
She lunged at me with the knife, and I barely managed to dodge. Her movements were erratic, but her strength was terrifying. I pulled out the taser, but she got to me first, slashing at my hand, making my taser fall down. She was fueled by a manic energy that made her incredibly dangerous. I could see the veins on her neck bulging, her eyes wide and bloodshot. Backup arrived just as she managed to corner a terrified woman, holding the knife to her throat. The sight of more uniforms only seemed to agitate her further.
No more dogs! No more! You'll all pay!
She was screaming now, the knife pressed against the woman's skin. My heart pounded as I tried to think of a way to defuse the situation. One wrong move, and this could turn deadly in an instant. My colleagues spread out, trying to surround Marie without provoking her further.
Marie, let her go. We are the dogs, right? Not them. They are just normal people.
Marie's eyes flicked between us, filled with a blend of paranoia and fury. She looked like a wild animal, cornered and ready to strike. Without warning, she shoved the woman away and lunged at me again, slashing wildly with the knife. My colleague seized the momentary distraction to rush in, tackling Marie to the ground. The impact knocked the wind out of her, and the knife skidded across the floor. But she was far from subdued. She writhed beneath them, screaming and scratching, her nails digging into their arms and face.
Let me go, you demons! I'm an American citizen, you can't do shit to me!
Her voice was a raw, primal scream that echoed through the bar. My colleague struggled to keep her pinned. I, despite my injury, moved to help, and together we managed to hold her down until more security personnel arrived with restraints.
Secure her now!
It took all of us to restrain her, and even then, she fought like a demon possessed, shrieking, wailing, making strange noises. Once she was finally subdued, handcuffed, and sedated, I slumped against the bar, breathing heavily. My arms and face throbbed with pain from the scratches and cuts. The bar was a wreck. Broken glass, spilled drinks, and bloodstains covered the floor. The patrons, who hadn't fled, stood in stunned silence, trying to process what they had just witnessed. Marie was carried away, still muttering about Lucifer's dogs and bombs. The paramedics arrived shortly after, tending to my wound and checking on the other injured passengers. I could see the disbelief and fear in their eyes, the same emotions I felt coursing through my own veins. This was an incident that would stay with all of us for a long time. As I looked around, taking in the aftermath, I couldn't shake the feeling of dread that lingered in the air. Marie's psychotic episode had been like a whirlwind, leaving destruction and fear in its wake. The police arrived, taking statements and starting their investigation. They praised us for handling the situation, but it felt like hollow praise. We had contained the immediate threat, but the scars, both physical and emotional, would take time to heal. Later, I sat in the infirmary, nursing a cup of coffee and trying to steady my shaking hands. I kept seeing Marie's wild eyes, hearing her screams. The fear and desperation had been so palpable, so overwhelming. I wondered what had pushed her to that point, what demons she had been battling. As I left the airport later, the city lights blurred through my tired eyes. The events of the night replayed in my mind, a restless loop of chaos and terror. I knew I would have nightmares about it for weeks, maybe longer. The encounter had shaken me to my core, revealing the fragile line between sanity and madness. Marie's psychotic terror had left an indelible mark on all of us. As I drove home, I couldn't help but feel a profound sense of vulnerability, a reminder of how quickly everything can unravel. The above story is inspired from a real-life incident. On May 5th, 2023, officers were dispatched to the airport in regards to a highly intoxicated woman who was harassing random people and refusing to leave the bar. When two officers arrived to defuse the situation, the woman could barely speak, yet she spoke that she just had two glasses of wine, and that, too, over 2 hours ago. When she got hostile, the officers tried arresting her, which triggered an episode resulting in assaulting the police officers, hurling abuses and loud crying. The woman also believed that because she is a German citizen, she couldn't be arrested on U.S. soil. I never thought our vacation in Cabo would turn into a nightmare. It was supposed to be a week of sun, sand, and sea for me and my friends. Olivia, Ethan, Sarah, and Jake. We had known each other since journalism school, and this trip was a long-awaited reunion. But everything changed the night Olivia was found dead. We had spent the day exploring the beach, and Olivia, with her ever-present camera, snapped photos of everything. She was a photojournalist, and was actually the one who made the Cabo trip possible. That night, we decided to have a dinner at a fancy restaurant by the sea. Olivia seemed distracted, but I brushed it off, thinking she was just tired. Around midnight, we returned to our hotel. Olivia said she was going to bed early, while the rest of us decided to hang out by the pool. An hour later, we heard a loud scream from Olivia's room. We rushed in to find her lying on the floor, lifeless. The room was a mess, drawers pulled out, her suitcase overturned. It looked like a burglary gone wrong. The police arrived quickly and started their investigation. They took our statements and searched the room. The officer in charge, Detective Martinez, seemed competent, but something about the scene didn't sit right with me. Olivia's camera was missing, and I knew she had never let it out of her sight. Detective, do you think it's possible the burglar took her camera?
It's likely. We're still looking for any clues that could lead us to the suspect.
The next few hours were a blur. We were all in shock, trying to make sense of what had happened. As the police continued their investigation, I couldn't shake the feeling that there was more to Olivia's death. She had been secretive the past few days, and I wondered if it had something to do with her work. Olivia was a freelance photographer, and she had recently been working on a project that she was very secretive about. She had mentioned it to me in passing, saying it was something big, but she never gave any details. I decided to start my own investigation. I knew I had to find the camera. The first place I checked was the beach, where we had spent the day. I searched through the sand, looking for any sign of her camera. As I was about to give up, I spotted something shiny, half buried near a rock. It was a memory card. My heart raced as I picked it up. Could this be the clue I was looking for? Back at the hotel, I borrowed Ethan's laptop and inserted the memory card. The photos were mostly of our trip, but as I scrolled through, I found a series of images that stood out. They were taken at night, showing a meeting between two men at a secluded spot by the beach. One of them, as we learned later, was a local businessman named Carlos Mendez. Do you think Olivia found out something she wasn't supposed to? I told my friends, and stupidly enough, we decided to confront Mendez. It was risky, but I knew we had to do it. Upon a little Googling, we found that Mendez was big on doing local charity work for missionaries. He had recently donated land to a particular Sister Gonzalez. So we faked being members of her church and requested an urgent meeting, saying that Sister had developed some health complications which we needed to discuss. Drove to his villa and found him waiting for us poolside. We were secretly recording him.
I don't know what you're talking about. Leave my property. Now.
He fumed as soon as he realized we were there to accuse him. We have photos of you meeting someone the night before Olivia was killed. She had them on her camera. Mendez's face turned pale. He glanced around nervously before stepping closer.
Listen, you don't know what you're getting into. Leave now or you'll regret it.
Before we could react, his guards appeared and we were forced to leave. As we drove back to the hotel, I couldn't shake the feeling that we were being watched.
He's definitely hiding something. We need more evidence, I told my friends.
We sneaked into Olivia's room that night. As we searched through her belongings, I found a small notebook hidden under her mattress. It was filled with notes about Mendez and his illegal activities. She had been gathering evidence for weeks. It suddenly made sense why she wanted us all to come to Cabo. She was investigating Mendez for a story. As we debated our next move, there was a sudden knock on the door. It was Detective Martinez.
What are you doing here? This is a crime scene.
We found something. Olivia was investigating Carlos Mendez. She had evidence.
Give me that notebook. I'll take care of it.
Something about his tone made me hesitate. But before I could react, Martinez grabbed the notebook and left. That is when we doubted his involvement. We decided to follow Martinez, hoping he would lead us to Mendez. He led us to a warehouse on the outskirts of town. Martinez parked his car and went inside, carrying Olivia's notebook. We waited a few minutes before sneaking in through a side door. The warehouse was dimly lit, filled with crates and equipment. We could hear voices coming from an office at the back. Soon, I heard Martinez talking to someone. Peeking through a crack in the door, I saw him handing the notebook to Mendez.
Good work, Martinez.
Now we just need to destroy this evidence. What about the friends? They're getting close. Make it look like an accident.
My blood ran cold. We had to act fast. I motioned for the others to follow me as we slipped back towards the exit. But as we turned a corner, we ran straight into one of Mendez's guards.
Run!
We scattered, but the guard grabbed me, slamming me against a crate. Pain shot through my side as I struggled to break free. Ethan and Jake and Sarah managed to escape. The guard dragged me towards the office.
Well, well, looks like we have a hero. Mendez greeted me.
Detective, teach him a lesson, then get rid of him.
The guard hit me again, and everything went black. When I came to my senses, I was tied to a chair in the middle of the warehouse. My head throbbed, and I could feel blood trickling down my face. Mendez and Martinez were arguing nearby, but I couldn't make out their words. I struggled against the ropes, but they were too tight. Just when I thought all hope was lost, I heard a commotion outside. The door burst open, and Ethan and Jake rushed in, followed by Sarah and a group of local police officers. They had managed to find help and had come to rescue me. The police quickly subdued Mendez and his guards. Martinez tried to escape, but was tackled by one of the officers. Sarah ran to my side, helping to untie the ropes. The officers arrested Mendez and Martinez, and I was taken to the hospital. As it turned out, Martinez was involved in smuggling of cocaine. Olivia had exposed one of his men in Miami, where she worked as an investigative photojournalist, and that is how she got to know about the main man, Carlos Mendez. We had managed to expose Mendez's crimes and bring him to justice, but it had come at a terrible cost. A few days later, we gathered at the beach to say our goodbyes to Olivia. As the sun set over the ocean, I felt a sense of closure. Olivia's death would not be in vain.